how important music is, how powerful music is. Music is a vehicle, and it moves you one way or the other. And music will either move you heavenward or you know the other direction. There is no neutral when it comes to music. And I thank the Lord that we are able to come into His house and hear the old songs of Zion and spiritual hymns and spiritual songs that stirs our heart and prepares our heart to look heavenward and creates an atmosphere and an environment of true worship. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth, and our music must be truth. It cannot be just fluff. A lot of this stuff going around today is just fluff, but it also can't get in the other ditch of just being some kind of religious chant of truth and there be no spirit to it. There's got to be a balance of spirit and truth. And boy, I thank the Lord for all the gifts that He's blessed us with here in our church, those that play instruments, those who have gifts to sing, and whatever you're doing, I'm grateful for it. And I throw out that clarion call again. If you sing or would like to sing, and I know some of you can and has, if you would please let me or Brother David know, we would like to get more people in the routine of just the same few singing every service. And so if God's blessed you with a talent to sing, we just saw tonight a young man step up at that age and let God use him. And so I thank the Lord. You did a tremendous job, buddy. Amen. Well, if I give you a guess, I wonder where you'd say we're going to in the Word of God tonight. Well, you would lose that bet. I had planned on it. And I've got a lot to say in a little bit of time to say it. I see people fanning all over. That's the bad news. You know, the worst news? Brother Jackie's got the key to the thermostat. And so we'll just be warm together. Jerry, you can open that door right there. No, that might be too cold on some of them. We'll make it. I mean, it ain't that bad. We'll make it. I sweat every time I'm at church, so welcome to the party, y'all. All right, let's take our Bibles and go. Keep it open. We're going to go to two sections, but first turn with me to Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. When you found that, hold your finger there and then make your way toward the New Testament and find the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6. Psalm 90, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6. You've been seated a while. Let's stand. Stretch your legs a moment. Reverence God's Word as we read it together. Again, I do want to welcome those listening online. We're so honored to have you join us, and we're honored. Hope the Lord will speak to your heart. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Psalm 90, verse number 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, very familiar verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you for standing. You can have a seat. I'm preaching this evening with the help of God on the subject, how to make the rest of your life the best of your life. How to make the rest of your life the best of your life. That should be every person here's desire. Looking backwards, we all have failure, heartache, sin, trouble, and a million different places if we could have done it different. Oh, to have the opportunity, if we could have just went back and had the chance to re-say some things and to relive some things and have the opportunity to just to have a redo. But you know as well as I do, that ain't how life works. And once it's been said, it's said. And once it's been done, it's done. But I've come tonight with something I believe could absolutely, it's touched my heart today. It's encouraged me in a way I haven't been in a long, long time from the Word of God. And put in perspective of what the Bible said when Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark, the high calling. Yesterday's gone. No sense in wasting any more time worrying about what happened yesterday. It's already in the books. And if it was bad, if it was sinful, get it under the blood. Get it repented of and forgiven. Then wash your hands of it and move on for the glory of God. Because if you live looking backwards, your life will be a constant swerve and you'll never amount to anything. And so I want to help us tonight from His Word, making the rest of your life the best of your life. Starting now, that's possible for every one of us. And so by way of introduction, there's an old saying, you're never too old to learn. I've found that to be true. I'm getting older, but I still learn, thank the Lord. And here is one lesson, you're never too old to learn. And that's where God told us in Psalm 90. He said, teach us. In other words, we need to learn. We need to look. And He said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Some of you have less days to live than others. If the natural progression of life just unravels, just on a widespread way of how it normally goes down. And I know there's some crazy situations where you'll have a 10-year-old die and then somebody live to be 110. But on average, the course of life, you can pretty much number your days and get a good idea of about how much time you have left. And it's wise to do that, because if we really get to doing an accounting, it is depressing. I've done it today. I said, Lord, if you let me live to 70, I'm well over halfway there. I have less time to live than I've already lived. And that lit a fire under me. You know what my next thought was, Brother David? I have no time to waste. I've wasted more time than I can afford. And I need to number my days and learn how to apply wisdom. Now what that means is this, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they really are and help us to spend them as we should. Someone has observed that life is like a dollar bill. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. Now, when you spend money, there are really only one of two ways you can spend it. And that's you can waste it or you can invest it. The same is true with life. You can waste your life or you can invest it. Now, whether you are young or old in here this evening or listen by way of internet, 6 or 60, healthy or wealthy, puny or poor, you can make the rest of your life the best of your life. In other words, your worst days could be over. The worst could be behind you. If you can grab a hold to the truth, the delivering, powerful truth that God is going to give us, I promise you, it's put right here in black and white. It's probably, I believe, some of the wisest words that Jesus ever let come off of His lips. He gave us the formula of how to have better days ahead. And we're going to look at it. Suppose you were starting life all over tomorrow. You are old enough already to know right from wrong. Most in here are already old enough to learn, old enough to love, old enough to know how to really live. If you could ask the Lord Jesus how to make the rest of my life the best of my life, what do you think He'd say? I don't think we have to wonder. I think I know. I think He's put it in His Word what He would say, because He said it. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I think you can summarize what Jesus said there in three little words. First things first. There's going to have to be some rearranging. There's going to have to be some honest accounting of all that's going on in our life. You know this, but it's worth repeating. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. And that applies across the board. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result has been said to be insanity. And it is. And so if we know that what we've been doing is only giving us this, then why wouldn't we allow what Jesus said when He said, "I'll give you the inside formula to have the greatest days of your life." And you can start today. Does that interest anybody? It interests me because you don't have to have a pedigree to get in right here. The 6-year-old that don't have a black midnight of chapters of his life of sin and scars can get right up in here and start and apply this formula and this principle that Jesus give us and stand right beside somebody who has wasted years and years of their life that one that has wasted and maybe has 4 or 5 divorces and served time in prison and got all kind of hell in his background can stand at the same starting point and take the truth of God's Word and from this point on have the greatest days of your life. I know that sounds simple, but I want to tell you that if you beginning now, today, will consciously, continuously, constantly, and consistently put first things first, it would absolutely transform your life for the better. The formula for how to do just that is found in this tremendous statement Jesus made. And I believe what He's saying, number one, is set proper priorities. Set the proper priorities. I asked the question, and I should have had you raise your hand, but I could see it in your eyes. Almost every hand in the sanctuary would go up if I said, who wants to have their best days ahead? All the hands would go up, would they not? We all want it to be better. We all want life to be on the up. But the sad thing is most people are not willing to change anything. But I promise you, not because I'm a good preacher, because I ain't. Not because I'm a good manager of time or a good wordsmith, because I'm terrible. But because what's in this book and the words spoken by Jesus are tested and true, and they're absolutely they will 1,000% make your life better just by taking it and enacting it into your life. We know Matthew 6:33 is in the Bible. Most of us can quote it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. We've said it and read it and quoted it and preached it, and we know that verse. But have we let that verse into our lives to live so it can change how we live? Truth appear. I told somebody this yesterday. I said, you better get that, all that stuff you know, it needs to drop about 6 inches. Oh, that's great to know all kind of stuff and have it and be able to quote it and say it. Yeah, I'll give you a hand clap. But if it don't get into our hearts, which will get into our feet and change the way we walk, into our mouth and change the way we talk and the things we touch. And listen, truth is not okay just being in our head. That's knowledge. You can have truth and no truth, and that's knowledge, and that's great knowledge. But you need wisdom. That's taking truth and putting in the shoe leather and letting truth help you to live better. And so I'm saying, Lord, help us to get past knowledge, ever learning, and never able to come to knowledge of truth. Help us to take the wisdom of your word that we can live greater days. And that comes by set proper priorities. Listen, everything. Don't die on me here. Everything dies or lives right here. You might as well lay down in your pew, fall asleep, take a nap, and tell your wife or whoever you to wake up when it's over if you're not going to get this part right here. It all rises and falls right here. You've got to get this part. If your priorities are not in order, your life will not be in order. If your priorities are not right, you will not be right. It's that simple. You don't have to pray about what your number one priority in life ought to be. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to discuss it or look at it or look for it. No, you just have to do it. Yes, because Jesus already told us what our first priority should be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then everything else will fall in place. The word seek means to actively pursue or to go after it. Could I ask you, by way of application, how many of you today have actively pursued seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And I'm being honest. And you be honest. I had to answer that when the Holy Spirit asked it of me. And I had to bow my head in shame. I preached this morning. I prayed this morning. I studied the Word of God most of the morning. But I could not honestly answer that I had sought out and pursued after what is first. Before getting a message together, before preparing a message and a sermon, before doing whatever, I'm first, my priority, my first things first is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We cannot skip that. So actively pursue or to go after. It's in the present tense. It means continuously. It's something that you've got to continue to do. Every day of your life ought to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, in order to seek the kingdom, please get this, it's so good. I never seen this till today. In order to seek the kingdom, you must first seek the King. In order to have a kingdom, there must be a king. There's a lot of preaching on TV about kingdom this and kingdom that. Listen, let me simplify it for you. And I'm going to say more about the kingdom in a minute that's spoken of here. But first things first, you and I must seek the King. Do you know who the King is? It ain't Elvis. No, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus is His name. Seek ye first the King or the kingdom. In order to have a kingdom, you must have a king, because you cannot have a kingdom without a king. The first priority of your life ought to be to seek the King of the kingdom. Did you know that the Christian life is more than just seeing the Lord? That's what happened when you got saved. Darkness was turned to light. And for the first time, God took your dead soul and he came and breathed on you and he reckoned you and He awoke you and allowed you that could not see, you that were blind, you that was dead in sin and blind and could not see. For the first time, He let you see His Son, the King. Remember, that got you in to the Christian life. That's the start. Sadly, that's where many people stay. The Christian life is more than seeing the King. The Christian life is seeking the King. That's the Christian life. Becoming a Christian, see Him. To be a Christian, you must seek Him daily. And not just seek Him daily, seek Him first daily. And that's big. Say more. The Lord is not just someone you passively accept. He's someone you actively seek. I can tell you something about your... Listen, I can tell you something about your relationship to God this very moment. And no, I had been looking through your drapes and following you around town, although I've been accused of several times recently. People go up and say, "Have you been talking to the preacher?" I'll get done preaching a message and I ain't talked to nobody about your business, period. I don't need to. I got enough problems of my own. I don't want to know yours. I ain't the Pope. And there ain't no hope for the Pope. I'm just simply saying, hey, listen, thank God we have a high priest. His name is Jesus. You can go right into the throne room of God and get mercy for yourself. I don't need to know your business. And don't want you knowing mine. I don't. But I can tell you something about your spiritual life and about where you are in your relationship with God this very moment. You say, how? How do you know? I can tell you how much of God you have right now. You say, you cannot. I can. You have just enough of God, just as much of God as you want. Right now. There ain't a person in this room that has less of God than what they want. God does not have favorites. Hear me. But he does have intimates. The Bible said in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. God has promised in his word and said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart. You want to find him? You want more of God? You want to seek him first? Do it with your whole heart. He promised he will make himself available to you. The God of heaven, not the president, not some famous iconic person. No, not who won the Super Bowl. No, I'm talking about the God of heaven said, if you'll seek me with your whole heart, you can find me. It's not enough to seek the Lord. You must seek him first. I need you to get this part right here, because I think we have a warped view of God. Jesus wasn't playing around when he made this statement. Jesus, when he said this, was as serious and sober-minded as anything he had ever said. And Jesus said, he could have left out the first part. He said, but seek ye first. There ain't one word in that Bible by accident. That there ain't no filler in the Word of God. Jesus meant exactly what he said. And you know what he was saying? By saying what he said, this is what he was saying. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. First things first. First things first. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Do you know what faith is? We're talking about seeking him, finding him. That requires faith. Because you ain't going to run out and play hide and go seek and then lift up a curtain and say, boo, there you are, God. No, I touched you. No, that ain't how that works. We seek him, not with physical eyes, but through the eyes of faith. It's faith. And faith is putting Father first. Let me tell you something. Jesus does not want a place in your life. I said that right. Jesus does not want a place in your life. Jesus does not even want prominence in your life. Jesus wants to be the preeminence in your life. First. Jesus wants the first moments of your day. Never. Don't die on me now, bless the Lord. Everybody was all happy saying, yeah, I want my life better forever going forward. Praise the Lord. Do you? You should. It's the best life to live. You can have it. It's accessible. We all can get it. Them bad days, those dreary days, they're over now. We don't have to live that way no more. We can take the truth that God rearranged my whole day. I had a message already studied. I didn't even have to look at it. I was ready to go. And God said, uh-uh. I got something fresh for my people tonight that can change their life and give them better lives and better days. I wouldn't take this one lightly tonight. By the way, and I'm not being rude, but do you know, I'm gonna give an account to God for everything I preach. Every word I say, I'm going to stand before God, be judged for it. It's rough. But you don't get off scot-free. You're going to give an account for every word you heard. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. I wouldn't take this one lightly. Jesus wants the first moments of our day, every day. He wants the first day of your week, Sunday. Jesus wants the first part of your paycheck. He just simply wants to be first in your life. The Lord Jesus is not interested in being first runner-up in your beauty contest. He's not interested in being vice president in your corporation or business. He's not interested in being second in command in your army. He wants to be king of the throne of your heart, not a co-partner in a duplex. And he will be king of all, or he will not be king at all. And so, not only are we to seek the king, and we ought to seek the kingdom. I've quoted this and read this and studied and preached it a lot, a whole lot. And I don't know how I miss what I'm about to share with you. But the way I've read some things today and saw some things, I just never had seen it. And it was staring me right in the face. Kingdom. The kingdom. We seek the king, but it says it in the verse. Jesus said, seek ye first the what? Kingdom. So yes, we're supposed to seek the king first, but we're also supposed to, so what is this kingdom? What is this kingdom? We have to know what it is if we're going to seek it. We're not just out blindly hoping we bump. Oh, there it is. There's the kingdom. Now, you ain't going to stumble into it. No, you got to seek it. And in order to seek it, you got to know what you're looking for. So, we ought to be seeking this kingdom. The kingdom of God ought to be the obsession of your life. The word kingdom there literally means to rule and to reign. That's what it means. A kingdom is a place where the king rules. I saw some smiles and some excitement. I said, well, we need to find Jesus first. We need to find the King of Kings. Lord, Lord. Praise the Lord, preach like that. Yeah. But I don't know about this kingdom stuff. He's going to rule over me? Oh, he'll rule in heaven. We'll shout. No, he's going to rule now. He's king. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek the rule and the reign of God over your entire life. Whew, that's heavy. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek the rule and the reign of God over your over part of your life. Most of us could live with that. Here, come in this room. Here, Lord, I'll walk you over here. We've cleaned this part, Lord. Look how, but we don't go back there. Just this way, Lord. This way, we don't go back there. We've got compartmentalized corridors in our heart that nobody knows about. We've got secret cubby holes stowed away in our heart and in our life that maybe your best friend knows about it. Maybe your husband or wife knows about it, but usually nobody knows. And surely you don't want Jesus to know. But the truth is, he already knows. And he's saying to you, I want your days to be better. And the only way that I can help you to make them better is for you to let me rule and reign over your entire life. Amen. Open the dirty doors. Let me see what you're working with so I can help you. So far, it's staying pretty cluttered and dirty the way we're doing it. And we've learned to like living in it. But if we're going to have better lives from this point on, we've got to allow him to rule and reign over our entire life. Now, when you truly seek a king and you truly seek his kingdom, you're automatically seeking for three things. First of all, you're seeking for the glory of a king. Every part and parcel of your life, every minute and moment of your time, every ounce and pound of strength, every muscle and fiber of your body ought to be given for the glory of God. You say, no, that's just asking for a lot. I mean, we're here on, it's Sunday night, preacher. We're doing good. I know, and I'm happy, but I want what's best for you. And as much as I want what's best for you, God wants what's best for you. And you parents, don't you wiggle out here on me. You want what's best for your children. You grandparents, you want what's best for your grandchildren, don't you? And you ain't gonna slight them. And you ain't gonna do them dirty. No, you love them way too much, and you're going to give them the best. And see to it that they don't get hurt, that they stay safe, they get their education, and that they succeed. You know what God's trying to do tonight to His children? He's trying to see to it that you have better days than you've had. That's what He's trying to do. You say, but that's every aspect, all of it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Everything that we do in our life should be intentional as we are in pursuit, seeking the kingdom of God and doing it for the glory of God. You say, but I wouldn't have time to work. I wouldn't have time to go eat. Did you just hear that? Let me read that again. Y'all didn't hear that. Whether therefore ye eat, Mama, there's your and Tommy's days right there. I mean, that's what y'all do. So if you eat and or drink, and I ain't talking about liquor, do it for the. In other words, He's saying to us, I ain't saying you can't have a life. I want you to have life. I come to give you life and life more abundantly. I didn't come to put you in a jail cell. I come to liberate you. But I want you to have a life that's worth living. And so this is how it's done. Pursue me and seek me early and seek me first and seek the kingdom. And the kingdom, let me rule and reign over all of your life. And then everything that you do, do it for the glory of God. Realizing that I'm the King of your life. And with that mindset and that mentality and that pursuit, I guarantee you, your life will immediately begin to pick up. Because wasn't many of us doing that yesterday, just to be honest. Hey, wasn't many of us doing that today, just to be honest. Amen. Oh, goodness. Somebody spin that clock and stop it. But it means also to seek for the guidance of a king. Not just the glory of a king, but for the guidance of a king. Listen to this. It's so good. We're talking about a king and a kingdom. A loyal subject always wants to do whatever the king would have him to do. All the king. I mean, watch the movies. And we're talking about earthly kings. All the king has to do is say, bring me water. I mean, they will make mad dashes. I want to be the one to bring them water. And they'll trip others up. No, I want to be the one to bring water. And they'll run, and run themselves half silly so they can be the one to bring back and say, here, O king, here's your water. Sweep the corner. I'll sweep the corner. And they'll run to sweep the corner. No, let me. It's for the king. That's really how it is. There's no higher calling in life than to find out what your king, not some fictitious king, not some man-made king, but one of the greatest things you'll ever do in your life is to find out what your king wants and needs done. And do it. It'll be the joy of your life. Every morning of your life, you ought to begin the day by asking, Lord Jesus, and ask like Paul did on the road to Damascus. Lord Jesus, I'm pursuing you today. Early, before I even talk to my wife or my husband, before I open my phone, Lord, I'm looking to heaven, and I'm saying like Paul did on the Damascus Road, Lord, what would you have me do? King, where would you summons me to be today? How could I serve you today? But it also means seek the government of a king, not just the glory, not just the guidance, but the government of a king. A loyal subject desires to be controlled by the king, to be governed by the king, to be ruled by the king. Someone might say, well, my goodness, that sounds like slavery. Many kings did rule and reign like slavery. But may I tell you, the greatest liberty in the world is found in being controlled by the right master. You want greater days? Let this king control you. Our problem, and where we always got in trouble, was where we would deviate and where we would buck the king and we wouldn't seek the king, especially first, and we'd go seek our own flesh and our own desires, and we end up with houses full of trash and houses full of mess and scars and all kind of hell that we don't know what to do with. And if we'd simply come and say, King, govern my life. Oh, King, I'm seeking you this morning, early, first. I come to you, King, to your kingdom, rule and reign. Govern and guide my life. I promise you, He wants what's best for you. He will keep you out of the ditches that the devil's trying to lure you toward. I told somebody yesterday, oh yeah, there's pleasure in sin. They are. Kids, young people, adults, there's pleasure. Michael John... There's pleasure in sin. There are, for a season. And when that season's up, and it will be up sooner than you think, that humongous, heavy, high price tag will come calling. And you will be on the ticket, enslaved to it. I heard about a woman who was deathly sick. A neighbor came to visit her, and he asked her whether she wanted to live or die. She responded, I just want whatever pleases God. The neighbor said, well, what if God would refer that matter to you? And then what would you say? She said, if God were to refer that matter to me, I would just refer the matter back to Him. The lady had her priorities right because she knew God wasn't going to do her wrong. She knew her king wouldn't steer her wrong. Even on your deathbed, it can be the greatest days of your life when you have a king like Him. When He's getting the glory in your life and He's guiding and governing your life. Believe this or not, but it would be better to die in the will of God than to live outside of the will of God. So set your priorities. Set proper priorities. Then seek personal purity. And I know what time it is, and I know just that word purity is like a cuss word around the church. Purity? Purity? Yeah, we don't hear it near enough. Purity. Seek purity, personal purity. Not only are we to seek His kingdom, we are to seek His righteousness. That's what the verse said. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's right. Now before you got to get this part because it's going to help you. I'm not about to turn the ooze on you. And I ain't going to mow you down. I promise. I'm about to just throw a lot of love your way and a lot of manna from heaven that God's going to help you with this when it comes to purity. Because guess what? And righteousness. You ain't got none. I ain't got none. Brother Neb, the best that I have is filthy rags. So that's the starting point. After all, I ain't a king. I don't have a kingdom. So just bear in mind, I ain't got righteousness either. That's why I'm seeking it. That is, not only are we to be seeking God's control over us, but we are to also to be seeking God's character within us. Purity, righteousness, with not just how we cover ourselves and how we look, but what's on the inside. Yeah, it's deeper. Christianity is deeper than what people see. It must be. The kingdom of God is not only to be inwardly experienced, but it's to be outwardly expressed. You see, if God is ruling over you, then His righteousness will be within you. It's that simple. Back to what I just said, if we allow Him to be king and rule and reign over us, His righteousness will be in us. It's when we don't allow Him to rule over us and reign over us and guide and govern us, that's when we lose righteousness. Because a man's character is simply the outward expression of whatever is controlling him inwardly. Faith is always seen by its fruit. Character is always seen by its conduct. Listen to Proverbs 20:12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them. You see, as we seek the kingdom of God, people ought to be able to see the kingdom in us. We're never going to make a difference in this world until the world sees a difference in us. I'm going to give you this illustration. How many of you have ever heard of Nietzsche? Raise your hand. Nietzsche, the great philosopher. I don't study after him. Me and old Socrates and Nietzsche, we like that, you know. Plato, I mean, I thought that was stuff you played with. I didn't know these people were real. But honestly, he was a wicked man. Wicked, wicked man. Listen to this. Nietzsche, that German philosopher, was the philosophical founder of the Nazi movement in Germany. So when you see all them millions of Jews burned in gas chambers, and you see the vileness of an Adolf Hitler, it was Nietzsche, this man who was filling and fueling the flames of all that. He was the first man in history to come to the conclusion, the first in history to come to the conclusion that God is dead. He came to that conclusion by looking at Christianity. Please do not cut me off right here. He came to that conclusion by looking at Christianity. Do you know what he said about Christians? He said, if you want me to believe you in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a whole lot more redeemed. That's what Nietzsche said. If you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a whole lot more redeemed. What an indictment on the church. I wonder if the world sees. Are we coming here and saying, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by, we're saying redeemed. But I wonder if the world can see any redemption in us. The real mark of a Christian is that he makes it easier for others to believe in God. Now, what does it mean to seek the righteousness of God? It means we must desire it. If you want righteousness, It starts with a desire for it. We do what we really want to do, and we are what we really want to be. I know I've said that, and it's simple, but listen, it's the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You ought to desire to be right, to do right, to live right, just as much as a hungry man desires food. Christians ought to desire to be right, to be righteous. Not only should we desire it, but we must derive it. We are to seek His righteousness. God, here's the good part. Here's the good part. Get this and we'll be done. We are to seek His righteousness. God is not interested in yours. God don't need your righteousness. He's only interested in His righteousness. God's not interested in what you can do for Him. God is interested in what He can do through you. It'll be a great day when you learn the difference between self-righteousness and the Savior's righteousness. Paul struggled with that. And if Paul struggled with it, I'm sure we do. And Paul said, after he was saved, one of the goals of his life, Paul said in Philippians 3:9, he said, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." That's what Paul wanted. That's what we should want. I know you know this, but we need to be reminded. Righteousness must be imputed before it can be imparted. Let me make that more simple. Before you can live it, God must give it. That is exactly what Jesus came and Jesus died, that we might have the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Do you see? You don't have to produce it. You just have to receive it in Him. And then we must depict it. We ought to live like kingdom subjects. I got another point, but I know I got to be done. I hate it. But I'll close with this. Y'all heard of Will Rogers? Some of you have. We ought to live like kingdom subjects. We must depict it. You know what Will Rogers said? He said, "We ought to live in such a way that we would not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip." Now, brother, that's deep there, ain't it? I read that. I said, I got to use that. Oh, Will Rogers had some zingers. He had some good ones. But that, how much truth is in that? If we're depicting our life and depicting our King, and we are letting His kingdom rule and reign and govern and guide us, we'll have no problem selling the family parrot to the biggest gossip in town. Because that parrot will just go away. Polly want a cracker? Jesus saves. Polly want a cracker? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Versus what He might be saying had I placed Him at your house the last week. And the screams and the cussing and the fussing and the fighting and the complaining and the are at my house. I'm simply saying there's a greater life to live, and you can live it. The devil's hoodwinked us into believing this is as good as it gets, and we've just got to settle with living low, just low, dirty lives. It's just as good as it gets. That's a lie birthed out of the pits of hell. And Jesus said so. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all this other stuff that you need, which was going to be the end of the message, I promise you, you won't have to worry about raiment and food and clothing. And He's going to make sure you've got the best. He's the King. He's going to make sure you got the best. He's going to share His King's food with you. He's going to give you King's garments to wear. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It ain't that if you go ahead and throw in with this that you're going to live a less life. That's the devil's mixed up thing. If you go in and throw in with this and seek Him first and His righteousness, and it ain't lower, it's higher.
Amen. Amen.
It ain't poorer, it's richer.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It ain't boring, it's blessed. The best life you'll ever live. I mean, be honest. You've had fun in sin. I'm done preaching. I've had fun in sin. I have. But then I had to pay the price tag and live with the guilt and the heartache and the shame. And it's terrible. But oh, I've tasted of God. I've tasted of the goodness of God, and I've been close to God, and I've had the hand of God on me and the anointing of God on me, and there's nothing like being close to God. There's nothing like having the favor of God on your life. It don't even compare. There's no sin that could come close to comparing to the life that God wants to give you to live. No life. And so I say, let's number our days so that we can learn to apply wisdom to our heart. Because for most of us, we have fewer to live than what we've already lived. And if we're ever going to get it right, it's time to get it right now. And train a younger generation how they can seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lord, help us with this. Let's stand, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray You take Your word. God, my feeble attempt, Lord, of delivering it. God, I pray that the power of Your word would go forth in demonstration, power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray You'd speak to Your people, God, and give us lives. God, give us mamas and daddies, Lord, that'll have lives that'll begin tomorrow, that'll be headed toward the best that they've ever lived. God, so they could carry their children and their family as a whole into the best days of their life. All because they're living under the King and under the kingdom and in Your righteousness, Lord. God, I pray that for my family. Oh, God, I pray that for my wife, my precious wife, Lord, and our precious children. God, I ask in Jesus' name, God, beginning now, Lord, beginning in me, oh God, creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renewing me a right spirit. God, help me to seek You early, Lord. God, I want my children, my wife, to see the greatest days are ahead, Lord, because they live close to You. Have Your way. Have Your way, Lord. As others are praying, these altars are open, I plead with You, come do business with the Lord.